with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packard. An Oval Office meeting today between President Biden and NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg. White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby says the White House is comfortable with the alliance's current strategic posture around the world.
Look, we're a NATO ally, and we talk to our NATO allies all the time about what readiness looks like, what posture needs to look like, and how we can all be better postured to meet our Article 5 commitments.
Wildfire is burning out of control in California, including one in the mountains north of Los Angeles. Meanwhile, record heat baking the Midwest today and the Northeast by tomorrow. The Israeli military announcing a tactical pause on fighting in parts of Gaza to allow more aid trucks in. This as Israel's war cabinet falls apart, disbanded by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after a key centrist members, two of them, resigned over the handling of the Hamas war. In an op-ed, the Surgeon General warning labels should be put on social media over concerns about young people's mental health. This is ABC News. Federal regulators have opened investigations into two incidents, both involving Southwest Boeing 737 MAX planes. ABC's Gio Benitez.
The Southwest MAX 8 flight came within just 400 feet of slamming into the Pacific Ocean. The incident happening in April off the coast of Hawaii when, according to Bloomberg, the flight was forced to abandon a landing attempt on Kauai because of inclement weather.
Southwest 2786, moderate to extreme precipitation, 11 o'clock to 1 mile.
Bloomberg says it obtained a Southwest memo and that the less experienced first officer inadvertently pushed forward on the control column.
In another incident, a Southwest MAX 8 went into a so-called Dutch roll, rocking side to side and front to back, causing structural damage to the aircraft last month. A museum in Switzerland will remove five paintings from public view while it investigates if they were looted by Nazis. The works include paintings by Monet and Van Gogh. I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off Super Paint products and Super Deck stains from June 14th through the 24th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
When you use Bounce dryer sheets and your clothes look amazing, it's the sheet. Less static in your life? Yeah, it's the sheet. Smelling fresher than ever? It's the sheet. Oh, so soft fabric? Ooh la la, it's the sheet. Less wrinkles on your clothes? You know it's the sheet. Bounce dryer sheets. More freshness, more softness. Less static, less wrinkles. It's the sheet.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Differing Wisconsin perspectives as the U.S. Supreme Court reverses a federal ban on bump stocks, Rob Kovac is president of NRA affiliate Wisconsin Firearm Owners.
We certainly just support the court's ruling that laws regulating lawfully purchased firearm accessories need to come from Congress and not from unelected bureaucrats.
Tyler Kelly is communications fellow with Wisconsin Anti-Violence Education Fund.
There's been 47 mass shootings since 2020, while bump stocks have been banned, and we don't know how many more lives could have been lost if any of those 47 shooters had access to a bump stock.
The court's conservative majority ruled Friday the federal government overstepped in banning the accessory, which allows automatic fire from semi-automatic rifles. No one was injured after an airplane crashed in Sheboygan County Sunday afternoon. According to the sheriff's office there, three people were on the single-engine plane that crashed in a field near the Sheboygan County Memorial Airport in the town of Sheboygan Falls. A preliminary investigation found the plane had an engine malfunction, which required an emergency landing. Federal Aviation Administration is investigating the crash. Catholic bishops apologize for the church's role in operating Indian boarding schools.
The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops on Friday approved a document which cites a history of trauma inflicted on Native Americans. Most of the 11 Native American schools located in Wisconsin were operated by the federal government, but all such schools sought to instill Christian values while discouraging and in many cases punishing use of native languages and cultural practices. Generations of children were removed from their families to be forcibly assimilated into white culture at residential schools. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Music in the Park with the Durand Improvement Group returns for the summer season this Wednesday. The band Uncaged will be performing with music beginning at 6 o'clock. There'll be food and beverages also available for purchase. Admission to Music in the Park is free. Join the Durand Improvement Group at Memorial Park this Wednesday starting at 6 o'clock for the first Music in the Park of the 2024 summer season with the band Uncaged with music beginning at 6 o'clock.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers, maybe a thunderstorm, highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, chance of a storm with lows around 74. Chance of showers and thunderstorms on your Tuesday, otherwise mostly sunny, windy with a high near 88. For Wednesday, chance of showers and storms, 75. On Thursday, scattered thunderstorms with a high near 77. Friday, showers and storms in 82. Right now, it's 65.
Welcome to AOA. Hope you are well. Thanks for joining us here on today's program. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's AOA, later on the show in segment three, we're going to talk with Bill Virts, senior policy analyst at the Consumer Choice Center. We were slated to talk with Bill last week, had some scheduling hiccups, and so able to get him confirmed and on the show with us here today. We're going to talk about some of the European agricultural issues that have been watched closely here on this show and across many of the ag news media. Some of those farmer protests, for instance, with the tractors in the streets and more. Some of the recent election results maybe have stemmed from some of that back and forth protesting. So we're going to talk to Bill and get an update on all that coming up here in segment three today. We'll have a look at some ag news headlines at the end of the show. Weather, of course, we're on top of that. DTN meteorologist John Baranek will be with us here in segment two for a conversation. Ahead of that, let's talk markets. Joining us now, Darren Newsom, senior market analyst at Bar Chart. Darren, hope you had a great weekend and not a beautiful start to the grains on a Monday with a lot of red across the screen there, but have to think weather, as I was alluding to John coming up, weather probably played a pretty big role right now.
Yeah, in the world of news, markets, and weather, everything's just kind of the warm-up band for the weatherman, weather person to come on, you know. And I remember it from speaking seasons for decades past. I mean, you get to this time of year, and it's all about the weather. You know, that's key points number one, two, and three is all weather forecasts and the different ones that are out there and how's the market interpreting. So, you know, like everybody else, I'm looking forward to what John has to say because, again, that's going to be the key. You know, as you and I were talking about beforehand, it's not necessarily where we open this week, but it's where we close. And that's going to depend on how this week's weather plays out and what the forecasts look like for the extended forecasts look like going on into July.
Definitely. And that impacts the money flow. Let's talk the latest commitment of traders report numbers. Looked like specs were mostly net sellers in wheat and beans last week, maybe. Talk about what you saw on last Friday's report, Darren.
Yeah, I think you're right. What we saw was net short futures position increasing pretty much across the board. In Minneapolis wheat, the net long decreased. But the one that really jumped out at me was the net short in corn decreasing. And we saw it play out in the futures market as July gained some ground from Tuesday to Tuesday. But it was the makeup of the change where I think funds added something like 28,000 contracts of longs and about 9,000-10,000 contracts of shorts. But what's interesting to me is that we're heading into this time of year when both the old crop cash market and new crop December futures contract tend to post high weekly closes either last week or this week. Funds adding contracts to their long positions opens the door to more liquidation, particularly if we continue to see the type of weather that we saw not only this weekend, but what looks like on the forecast maps. Yes, some higher temperatures, but it's summer, but followed with or in combination with what looks to be ample rain across both the Plains and Midwest. This could lead to some pretty stout liquidation. And if so, again, just it could put pressure on the market.
Well, and looking at fundamentals like that and watching these charts and seasonality and things like that, I mean, depending on what the weather throws at the trade here, which seems to lean fairly bearish at this point in time, seasonality, especially in corn, I feel like this is kind of that time of year where corn can tend to fall off a cliff rather rapidly at a certain point, whenever it kind of hits that proverbial wall, Darren.
Absolutely. And, we're kind of switching our look here from old crop. We've got a pretty good idea what the old crop's going to do. Yes, basis continues to firm. Yes, we continue to see some demand for old crop, but it's all about new crop now. It's all about what are we going to produce? What are we going to have for carryover? Right now it looks like it's tightening a little bit, but it's still comfortable as far as old crop into new, and production looks like it's being ramped up again due to weather. So, this is a time of year we have to be very careful with the market, because once we get past this mid-June timeframe, it tends to just kind of fall off a cliff, and we see it in new crop corn, we see it in new crop beans, we see it in the wheat markets as well. So as we head into late June and July, it's a tough time of year unless we get some sort of weather event that changes, the overall mentality of these markets and leads to some sort of contra-seasonal move. It's a rougher time of year. It's a more bearish time of year for the grains sector as a whole.
And I feel like, Darren, it makes it a tough environment for people to market in. They have to have a plan, yes, but they got to make sure they have a good plan and stick with it. I feel like when there's this type of volatile environment out there, right?
Yeah, and here's where, we can look at not only the seasonal patterns and use them as a guide. They're not a hard and fast rule, but use them as a guide, and also look at, say, the price distribution. And if we look at, these 2024 contracts just dip below the 50% mark if we go back over the last 5 years based on weekly closes. 50% of the time, just under 50% of the time, it closes where it's sitting right now for D's corn as a whole. But if we look out at the 25 contract, it's almost right on that 50% mark. So, we can kind of use that as a guide if we want to start putting, floor price in, getting some sales on the books. If we haven't up to this point, if we were unsure, if we were, kind of holding back, waiting for this summer rally, well, as again, seasonally, it's probably come and gone. And so now we're still sitting near mid-range historically. So probably not a bad idea if we can get some on the books. I've had conversations with a couple of folks already this morning. That's kind of their plan of attack. And then see what the rest of the summer brings us.
On the protein sector real quick as well, Darren, we ended last week with some good strength in futures for cattle and hogs, and It's looking like at least early in the week, hogs trying to follow through a little bit while cattle, it's a little more mixed, but any notes on the proteins for us today?
Yeah, I think really what jumped out at me, again, you mentioned the hog market, but I think what jumped out to me at the end of last week was the strength of the commercial buying that we saw, particularly in live cattle. And so, you know, it was followed up with, you know, at least a firm cash market. And we saw the boxed beef markets closing last week strong as well. So, you know, that's a bit of a contra-seasonal move. It continues to indicate there's consumer demand here in the United States. We'll see how long it lasts. We'll see if it lasts through the month of June, because again, seasonally, boxed beef has started to move lower at this point. So, you know, we'll see if we can continue in that contra-seasonal rally.
Darren, always appreciate the time. And outside markets too, keeping an eye there. That dollar has been a bit of a headwind here the last few days, hasn't it?
Yeah, a lot of strength. We got through all of the, you know, all of the latest inflation data, and we knew inflation was still here. Whether or not it was as strong as what everybody talked about, that's up for debate. But, you know, we got through the inflation numbers. We got through the FOMC report. Now we'll see how the dollar is still in a long-term uptrend. We'll see how much higher it wants to go.
Darren Newsome, Senior Market Analyst at Bar Chart. Folks can learn more at darrennewsome.com as well. And with that, we're up against the clock. Always appreciate the time, Darren. Have a great week.
All right, you too, Jesse. Thanks.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, as Darren kind of teed it up there, we're going to talk weather. DTN meteorologist John Baranek is going to be with us and give us the details on what that forecast is looking like. We'll be back with more here on AOA right after the break.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Don't risk losing the trusted news, traffic, sports, and weather you get from AM radio stations. It's time to make your voice heard. We need Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars. When internet and cell services are out, AM could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Everyone knows how important calcium-rich milk and dairy products are to building strong bones and teeth in children. But something you might not know, the calcium in milk has been shown to reduce hypertension in adults. So relax with a tall, cool one and raise a toast to good health and to your local dairyman.
Today and every day, we salute our dairy industry.
Thank you, dairy farmers, for all of your hard work. And this June Dairy Month message is being brought to you by Synergy Co-op, your LS tractor dealer. Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA.
Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, some folks in the Northwestern Corn Belt in particular might be wondering if they got to get their John boat out or maybe a pontoon to go out and do some crop scouting potentially here. A lot of heavy rain showing up here on the radar with more in the forecast, and you draw a dividing line kind of diagonal and go south and east of that line, and we have heat and dryness at parts of the south and the eastern Corn Belt. So let's talk about what's setting up for weather here this week. DTN meteorologist John Baranek is with us here today on AOA. John, I wonder, do we have to get the boats out in the Northwestern Corn Belt? I joke a little bit there. I know it's not something that farmers in that neck of the woods that necessarily want to see or hear with all this heavy rain right now.
Yeah, you got to have kind of a sense of humor, Jesse, when some of this stuff kind of just happens to you. And it seems like every year, but it's something different every year. In the upper Midwest last year, it was drought. And this year we're going to have this complete opposite and it's going to be flooding. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. That dividing line's kind of from Nebraska to Wisconsin and everywhere kind of, it's a kind of a thick line, not a very sharp one, but, you know, everywhere north of that line is going to be dealing with periods of rain, thunderstorms, and a little bit of severe weather here, over the course of the next several days. That front, that zone is really due to a stalled front in the area, and it's going to be waffling kind of north and south. So, I mean, some areas are going to stay dry for a day or two just to have it come back. And then, you know, the other side will get wet and then, you know, kind of flip around a bit. But I mean, if you look at really kind of eastern South Dakota and most of Minnesota, northern Iowa, we're going to be in it for basically all week in this area. And we're looking at, you know, very, very heavy rainfall. We've already had a whole bunch over the weekend into this morning. And we're expecting another 3 to 4 or 3 to 5 inches more in addition to that. And there's potential here for some areas, if you add up an entire week's worth of rainfall, to get, you know, 10 inches of rain. You know, you got 2 months or more worth of rain in the span of a week. It's kind of an incredible situation we're going to be in for some of these areas up here in the upper Midwest.
Well, on the other side of that line, I mentioned the heat and dryness, eastern Corn Belt, southern mid-south into the southern plains, and that in itself could maybe put a little early stress on some crop. But then again, it's still fairly early in the growing season, John.
Yeah, it's very early, and you know, I'm not as concerned with soybeans as I am for corn, at least a little bit. But you know, we had a pretty wet spring, and most areas are doing okay with soil moisture. And there's been some areas here and there that not as wet as others, but overall, the soil moisture is helping us out here through this, because yeah, it is super hot here. We've got, you know, south of this front that's going to be waffling around. I mean, we've got consistent temperatures in the 90s. All week long, and we're going to be pushing close to 100 degrees in some areas as well, especially as we get towards the eastern half of the Corn Belt and across the southern plains. It's going to be close to 100 degrees on several occasions, so lots of heat stress coming forward. You know, there is a little bit of you know, hope and reprieve, and you kind of mentioned to me during the break where, you know, we are going to get a little bit of pop-up showers and some thunderstorms rolling through. It's not going to be much, but there is plenty of moisture coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. So in addition to the heat, it's pretty humid. And when you get those hot and humid conditions, you end up with some pop-up showers and thunderstorms here and there. But you know, it's, you know, a temporary relief really. And you're lucky if you get one of those to pass over you. And it doesn't really do much to increase your soil moisture. It knocks down the temperature, you know, by about 10 to 15 degrees for a couple hours, and then you're back to it. So, yeah, it's pretty hot and humid there south of that front. And again, that's all week long.
We're talking with DTN meteorologist John Baranek here today on AOA. John, a little bit of a longer range setup here as we head towards the 4th of July and maybe even beyond. I've heard some chatter that maybe this La Nina pattern is effectively over, things like that. I mean, what are some of the longer range features you're keeping an eye on here this week?
Well, La Nina has definitely been slower. It has not really evolved as quickly as some of the models were thinking it would back when we were talking about it during the winter time. Our American climate model was really aggressive and really had La Nina starting up around Memorial Day, but that didn't happen. And it's been kind of slow to kind of evolve, but I wouldn't say it's over by any means. All models are still having it get colder temperatures out there in the Pacific Ocean. I mean, if you look just below the surface, it's real cold, like 2 or 3 degrees Celsius below normal. Just below the surface, you know, a good 10 to 50 meters. So it's right there. But we do need a little bit of help from the atmosphere to kind of bring that colder water to the surface. It's right there, but it's just below. So it's not really interacting with the atmosphere at the moment. If we can get some increased trade winds, that really helps to bring that to the surface. If we get one of these so-called Kelvin waves that move through the ocean to kind of bring up that water to the surface a little more, it could snap into La Nina conditions rather quickly. So it's not gone. We're still watching it, but it is slower to develop. And I think overall that should be a good thing for U.S. agriculture. We're still going to have to deal with these heat ridges. That happens every year. And, you know, we're going through one right now, but it's not going to last forever. We do get a break coming up here this weekend that should shift things around. It probably comes back before the 4th of July, and models disagree whether that's going to be back in the east where it is now or kind of more towards the central and southern plains. But it looks like it will be coming back. But as long as this, you know, La Nina holds back, you know, we should see this ridge shifting around. And, you know, through the course of the summer, as long as it's shifting around, different areas of the country are going to get it for short periods of time. And then, when you're not getting it, you're getting some decent rainfall. Hopefully it's not the flooding rain like we're seeing in the upper Midwest this week. But, you know, if we can see it shifting around a bit, that would be honestly a pretty good thing overall for U.S. agriculture. So we'll hope and pray that that's the case, that, you know, we deal with some stress from times. You know, if you're out in the southern or southwestern Corn Belt, you're used to seeing long stretches of some intense heat. But, you know, we could be, as long as we see that shifting around, I think we're going to be in good shape, even if we do see some flooding in some areas now or some heat, you know, heat stress building up early here in other parts. I'm still optimistic about the summer weather pattern.
John, at least for now. Well, we'll definitely keep our eyes on it. We've got a long ways to go. Let's take a look around the world as well. And we keep watching South America, of course. I know things in Europe, there's been a lot of talk about some of the weather issues in Australia, India, parts of China, etc. What are some global features you're keeping an eye on this week?
Yeah, South American weather is really winding down, and the harvest of that safrinha crop is really increasing. We got a report on Friday that the state of Mato Grosso, which does about half of the safrinha corn, is already 20% complete with their harvest. They're ahead of schedule on that. They are seeing a front move into southern Brazil again, and that far southern state of Rio Grande do Sul had some really significant flooding about 5-6 weeks ago. It's getting some more heavy rain down there, so they're going to have some issues there. If you look into kind of Western Europe, they've had issues with heavy rain really for the last 6 months, and there's not really any change in that. They had some pretty heavy rain over the weekend in places like France and Germany. They're going to get plenty more rain here for this week. The Black Sea region, which had been very hot and dry over the last couple of weeks, they got some decent rain in eastern Ukraine, but it's too late for wheat. Maybe we'll help their corn out a bit. We got some more scattered showers there today, but then it goes hotter and drier again for the rest of the week. So we're going to still see issues in the Black Sea region. There's been a lot of talk recently about what's going on in central China, kind of on the North China Plain. It's usually one of those areas that goes from winter wheat to like a short season corn or soybean crop. They've had some issues with that there. It's been a smaller pocket than I think people are concerned about, with some heat and dryness there, but that's been a concern. And then, the Indian monsoon is finally starting to kick in, and should help out some of the crops down there. That's been not late, but hasn't been as significant as I think some people were hoping for. And there's all sorts of, I wouldn't say issues in Australia, but, you know, with La Nina taking kind of a slower pace to it, you know, they kind of bank on that for giving them a bunch of rainfall there for their winter wheat and canola crops. And, you know, it's been decent there, but not as what they needed it to be. So that they could use a little bit more rain there in Australia as well. And with La Nina holding off, that's probably not going to be as significant as maybe some forecasts were indicating earlier. So we'll keep watching that crop down there too.
Folks can stay up to date with the weather at dtnpf.com. With that, John Baranek, DTN meteorologist. John, have a great week. Thanks for joining us today on AOA.
Thanks for having me on again, Jesse.
Coming up next, we'll talk with senior policy analyst at the Consumer Choice Center, Bill Virts, will be with us after this on AOA.
And we're back looking at another lopsided matchup, Jim. Today we have a combine taking on a train.
Yeah, that heavy train is about 1,000 times heavier than the combine. No competition there.
Right, especially given that it'll take at least a mile to stop that train.
That's 18 football fields.
It's no contest. Every day people are injured or killed trying to beat a train at rail crossings. See tracks, think train.
This message brought to you by Operation Lifesaver.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, July milk down 43 to 2024, August down 35 to 2079, September down 29 to 2045, October down 14 at 1996. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets were mostly mixed on the day. Now, the mixed markets is not because of weakness overtaking the market following last week's tremendous support seen fundamentally in sales across the countryside, but rather traders are hoping to find more of that same level of support this week. Meanwhile, hog markets were mostly higher with triple-digit gains as a lot of short covering happened in the market. The trade is hopeful that domestic demand will remain strong in the market and that the technical support in the futures complex continues to hold. June live cattle up 22 cents to 187.05. August feeder cattle down 65 cents to 261.32. And July hogs up $1.72 to 95.37. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all were up mostly lower on the day. Weather is the primary driver right now. While it's too wet in the northwestern corn belt, too dry and warm in the southern and eastern belt, traders really aren't concerned. They're looking at the longer-term forecasts and seeing what could be improved weather next week, and therefore they showed no interest in buying. There was also aggressive selling from the commodity funds. New crop corn down 7.25 to 463. New crop beans down 19.5.
Efficiency is critical for your farming or dairy operation, so extending the life of your equipment, walls, flooring, and machinery by adding plastic liners installed by Osseo Plastics and Supply only makes sense. Plastic liners wear longer than steel and they clean up fast. The call to Osseo Plastics will save you valuable downtime and lower repair costs for years to come. Make the smart choice and call Osseo Plastics and Supply. Have them help you become more efficient with your money and time with plastic liners and resurfaced equipment and flooring from Osseo Plastics and Supply.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges, and our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now here on Agriculture of America, we've had him on the show from time to time and had some great conversations catching up on agricultural issues that we see over in Europe that could have impacts on American agriculture, things like that. We always want to take a global focus of agriculture issues and talk about things. So great to have him back with us here today. Joining us now, Senior Policy Analyst for the Consumer Choice Center, Bill Wirtz is with us. Bill, it's good to catch up with you again, sir. How are you?
Thank you for having me back, Jesse. I appreciate it.
I'm sure you've been fairly busy with a lot of different things happening in Europe here as of late. We've seen some recent elections in the European Union, and of course, we've been following the farmer protests and things like that. Get us up to speed on what we saw come out of those elections, and did some of that farmer protest influence, did that work its way into some of the final election results here? Are we seeing some changes?
Well, the answer with many things, as is with many things in Europe, is it's a bit complicated. Now, the farmer protests were successful in the sense that they, in certain EU member states, in certain European countries, defeated bills and tax changes that were being planned. But they continued their protests because their aim was specific for those European elections. This means that in all 27 member states of the EU, we all went to vote for a new European Parliament. And the European Parliament is a key institution in deciding on a lot of those environmental regulations, agricultural regulations. So the message away to farmers was, don't forget about us. We're still here. And up until the last day before the elections, they were protesting, including on the border between France and Spain, where they were blocking border crossings in protest. Now, when we look at those election results, I think a lot of people had their headlines already written and just wanted to hit publish. There weren't really major changes. The new European Parliament looks a lot like the old European Parliament, but there's a few things to point out. Most notably, environmentalist political parties have really lost a lot of seats, and some of the more right-wing parties, specifically in Germany and France, have gained seats. And agriculture is certainly one of those issues, and that's something I'm also going to be writing about more this week in some of the publications that I publish in, is that agriculture made the frustrations that many citizens have with environmental policy in Europe palpable. Because this is a specific profession that is clearly overregulated and burdened by a lot of that regulation, and it made it clear to them. Because you know we have other things as well, like higher taxes and potential ban on petrol cars, on gas powered cars. But this issue, specifically farmers speaking out, made it so clear to voters, and you can see in the voting habits that citizens supported right wing and center right parties more, specifically those center right parties that said that they were listening to the farmers and were going to make major changes after this election.
So in kind of summation there, maybe not as sweeping of changes as was initially reported, but thinking about this, it sounds like we've been following along with this for quite some time, at least that farmers' voices getting heard and also they're making their own voices heard at the polls, Bill.
They certainly do. And now there's a new government in the Netherlands and the farmer citizen movement is part of that government. We're still hearing some of the ministers coming out. I'm pretty certain the agricultural portfolio will be given to the farmer citizens movement in the Netherlands. And that means that on an institutional level, you can't really pass sweeping changes to agricultural policy without taking the Netherlands on board. And this is pervasive across the European Union. A lot of people have changed their tune. In 2019, it was all about environmental policy. The farmers have to do more. We'll set the targets and they'll have to figure out how they get there. We're going to ban 50% of all the pesticides and we're going to slash all the fertilizer use and you can figure out how to do that. We're really far away from that now in 2024. We're going to get a new European Commission, a new people in charge of the executive. And it seems to me That a lot of the focus is going to be on what they, I mean, in Europe, we don't call it deregulation. We usually find a more soothing word for it. So their word now is simplification. So the common agricultural policy, the subsidy scheme has already been simplified. If you have a small farm, they won't send somebody to check up on all the environmental rules every other week. So they already made that a lot easier. They made it less conditional on environmental rules. So a lot of simplification is already coming in. And I expect that the moment we have a new European Commission starting in September, that we're going to see a lot, an ease of agriculture policy. I don't have a glass ball. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I feel that the political fear that was sparked by those farmer protests has now been ingrained in lawmakers, and they're going to tread a lot more carefully.
We're talking with Bill Wirtz, the senior policy analyst at the Consumer Choice Center here today on AOA. And you're thinking about that and maybe seeing some of those changes in policy. Obviously, we think about the European Green Deal, and I know you were kind of referring to that a little bit in that last question and answer there. I think about comparing that with what we're seeing in America right now. Of course, a lot of talk about sustainability and climate smart ag and a lot of this new regulation coming down from the current administration, things like that. I guess let me frame this up as, what can American farmers take away from what we have been continually seeing in Europe and maybe apply it to their thinking about some of the things that are happening here in the U.S.? Thoughts on that, Bill?
Certainly, I have thoughts on that. I mean, it's usually Americans are always ahead in terms of innovation and new rules and new ideas compared to Europe. But this one, not only are we ahead, we also made all the bad experiences already. So let me give you a practical example. So Vermont recently debated Bill H706. This is an initiative that wants to ban the use of neonics in Vermont agriculture. This follows New York State, which already did that by 2029 in New York. If you're in the agricultural sector, you won't be able to use neonics anymore. Of course, that's still a long way to go, and maybe there will be changes to that. Vermont wanted to follow the New York example. And what was so interesting to me is that in the bill, one of the justifications for this rule is that it already exists in the European Union. And that gave me pause, because when they asked me to testify in the Senate Committee on Agriculture in Vermont, I said, I mean, that is true. It is banned in the European Union and also in Quebec. But the experiences are very different. I mean, Quebec deals with that problem by giving farmers significantly more subsidies than American farmers get. Essentially, just spending your way out of it. And, you know, a lot of farmers will say, okay, well, if it's offset by a lot of subsidies, then fair enough. Okay, well, I can keep the business alive that way. And in Europe, farmers have been continuously asking for exemptions and have received them on multiple occasions. In 2020, French beetroot farmers were at the verge of collapse, and they got a 3-year exemption on using neonics. And so it seems that in Vermont, they have been sort of been in this silo where they think that, you know, they're doing something good for the bees, and I can see their ambition there. But actually, when you look at the U.S. census data, bee populations have actually been increasing in the United States. So I don't read, including in Vermont. So I don't really see what the big issue there is. It's EPA approved, and much like Europe, it seems that the United States, on a more local level, is trying to replicate this model of stigmatizing against specific crop protection chemicals that farmers do need and use responsibly. And no farmer uses a specific pesticide because they want to enrich a chemicals company. They use it to protect their crops, and they use it in just about the dosage that is necessary to do that. So we've had some bad experiences with this in Europe, and unfortunately, it seems that lawmakers in the United States now want to try the same experiment. So I think the message to farmers is, stay watchful. Maybe it's not really the time yet to bring the tractors out in front of the Capitol building, but I think keeping an eye on those pieces of legislation and how they move about and how the conversation is being made, is the conversation being had with farmers in those with legislators, with lawmakers, or not? And getting your foot in the door and writing to your elected members to, you know, make them aware on what you're actually doing in your profession, because a lot of lawmakers seem to have a very isolated view on agriculture.
I couldn't agree more. And I think just to sum this all up, obviously, with all of the various elections going on around the world this year, Bill, I think the most elections ever in 1 year, as we know, things can change when new folks are elected, but still with the amount of regulation and everything else out there impacting agriculture, to your point, just got to stay on our toes and keep an eye on things, don't we, Bill?
Certainly. I think it was a former U.S. president who said elections have consequences. And I think a lot of lawmakers have found that out now in Europe and may also find that out in the United States as well. So, yeah, definitely. Keeping a watchful eye on those bills.
Well, Bill, great to catch up with you again. I know you mentioned this earlier. You have a lot of different pieces that you write and share frequently, podcasts you host and more. Where can folks kind of stay up to date with some of your latest work and more of the things you do with the Consumer Choice Center?
Absolutely. They can go on consumerchoicecenter.org. They can also follow Consumer Choice Center on X and myself at Wirtz, W-I-R-T-Z, Bill, where they can find all writing and the latest updates and tweet threads and angry tweet threads are some of the legislations that I find are very ill advised to implement. So they can follow me there and find out more.
Fantastic. Can we call them angry tweet threads still, or do we have to call them angry X threads?
It doesn't have the same ring to it, but I'm still getting used to it.
I am too. Well, with that, we'll wrap it up. Thanks for joining us, senior policy analyst for the Consumer Choice Center, Bill Wirtz. Thanks for being with us on AOA. Bill, have a great one. We'll talk to you again soon.
You too. Thanks for having me.
And once again, Bill Wirtz there, senior policy analyst with the Consumer Choice Center, joining us here on AOA today. All right, coming up next, before we run out of time, we're going to take a look at news headlines, including some more talk about the Farm Bill. Will New Year Farm Bill funding, is that a given or not? We're going to talk about that. And also, could reconciliation be used on Capitol Hill to possibly reach a partisan Farm Bill? We're going to talk more about that and take a look at other news headlines. That is coming up after this here on AOA.
Farm First Dairy Cooperative wants to recognize our hardworking dairy farm families. The hours are long and the job is tough. That's why Farm First Dairy Cooperative is driven to help farmers with milk marketing, advocate for policy change, train young farm leaders, and is one of the only cooperatives to offer milk loss disaster benefits to members. Thank you, dairy farm families, for all of your hard work. Visit farmfirstdairycooperative.com to learn more about how Farm First puts farm families first.
Start your new and exciting career at Martin Transport Mondovi. Martin Transport's one of Western Wisconsin's largest employers and is a leader in the industry, transporting temperature-sensitive freight to 48 states, Canada, and Mexico. Martin Transport now has openings for dedicated, local, regional, and over-the-road drivers, logistics, operations, maintenance, accounting, and information technology. Visit martin.com for more information and to apply. It's better in blue when you work for an industry leader. Martin Transport, Mondovi.
Not everyone can fix their own car or a leaky pipe. So what do? Call an expert. And if daily finances for you or a family member have become too much of a burden, call Rhonda at Numbers R Us. Whether it's an older loved one, member of the military, or just someone who's too busy or constantly on the road, daily money management from Numbers R Us takes care of all the bills, deposits, and payments, and avoids fees, family conflict, and fraud. Contact Rhonda at NumbersRUs.com.
O'Galley Cheese Factory would like to thank everyone in the local WRDN listening area for their support of our local dairy farmers and processors. O'Galley Cheese is proud to be part of such a strong community. We salute all our dairy farmers for their continued hard work and dedication throughout the years. For all your cheese needs, the O'Galley Cheese retail store is open 7 days a week. O'Galley Cheese is located just north of Durand on Highway 25.
Every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges.
At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
The landscape of media has changed, and people are more skeptical than ever about where they get their news and information. While major news outlets show decreasing credibility, your local farm radio station still shows strong marks. In a recent survey, farmers rated information from their farm broadcasters as almost twice as reliable as major news outlets. Farm radio continues to be transparent, honest, and trustworthy. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
All right, welcome back to AOA here today as we take a look at news headlines. Well, increased funding for a farm bill next year is not a given, or could it be counted on to boost political support for a five-year farm and nutrition bill? A streamlined budget process known as reconciliation allows the Senate to pass tax spending and debt limit bills with a simple majority vote instead of a filibuster-proof 60-vote margin. A longtime Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley is doubtful the process could be used to pass a partisan farm bill.
I would think that would be a pretty heavy lift to do through reconciliation. And I don't know that it ever has been done that way. And the other thing, remember, is reconciliation is a partisan approach to policymaking. And farm bills have always been bipartisan. And I think it's better that they are.
But others are open to using reconciliation if needed and if the November elections make it possible, Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell.
We need to have a Republican president, a Republican House, and a Republican Senate, or there'll be no reconciliation at all. And it is an important tool. We hope to have an opportunity to use it. And we'll find out first Tuesday in November.
Well, the farm bill became problematic after budget writers gave the two ag committees no new farm bill spending authority over the budget baseline, forcing the ongoing fight between farm and feeding programs. Reconciliation's been used some two dozen times since 1980 for everything from welfare reform and tax cuts to the Biden American Rescue Plan, but apparently not for a farm bill. Well, South America's harvest results are a mixed bag this year. Dr. Michael Cordonier, an agronomist at Soybean and Corn Advisor, says Brazil's second corn crop turned out well.
CONAB came out yesterday, and they increased the corn estimate in Brazil 2.5 million tons to 114. Now, the big increase was for the safrinha crop, which is up 1.9 million from May. And they increased the acreage, 160,000 hectares, increased the yield one bushel. Now, CONAB has a history of finding more safrinha acreage as the season progresses, and that's what happened this year.
Brazil's soybeans were the opposite.
Of course, they get the problems in Rio Grande do Sul, and they did lower the Brazil soybean estimate 0.3 million tons to 147.3. So that was a result of the severe flooding that lost maybe 3 million tons of soybeans in the field in Rio Grande do Sul, and maybe as much as 2 million tons that was in storage. So that was a big deal for Rio Grande do Sul.
The recent flooding in Rio Grande do Sul is the second flooding episode in the last 6 months. When the rains first began this time, soybean harvest wasn't completed.
When the rain started, the soybeans are like 75% harvested. So it came right towards the end of the harvest, and they probably did not harvest the last maybe 10%. And what they did harvest after the rain started was terrible condition. You know, it had germinated in the pods, and it was sprouted, and moldy. It was terrible condition.
That's Dr. Michael Cordonier, Soybeans and Corn Advisor. Learn more at soybeansandcorn.com. Well, National Eat Your Veggies Day is June 17th, kicking off the week. Kelly Bristow is the Global Nutrition Affairs Lead for Bayer, and she says the company is pushing for more access to healthier foods for hungry people. Better food and healthier people start with more veggies.
Oftentimes, we get so focused on what foods that they're wanting to consume less of that we avoid or miss the boat or the picture on seeing what we should be getting more of. And that's really where fruits and vegetables come in. So Americans across every age group are under-consuming the recommendations for fruits and vegetables. And it can be one thing that we can do to more positively fit health in our day-to-day. So research really supports that people who eat more fruits and vegetables as part of an overall healthy diet are likely to have a reduced risk for some chronic disease. Another thing I like to point out is the diversity of colors that fruits and vegetables bring. So each color group is going to actually bring different nutrients and different nutrition. This summer, trying to find different ways to add in colors to meals and snacks can be one thing towards supporting a healthy diet. And instead of always thinking about what to remove, it's starting to think that positive shift of what can we add.
Vegetables by Bayer is working hard to make sure hungry people get more access to fresh foods.
Bayer does have three different divisions. And so across all three divisions, we have a bold vision of health for all and hunger for none. And so there's an extremely important role that vegetables and fruits have to play in that. Without having access and availability of fruits and vegetables, we'll continue to see nutrient deficiencies and non-communicable diseases in these populations. So we have an initiative called the Nutrient Gap Initiative, which is a cross-divisional collaboration with our Consumer Health Division that really focuses to help fill nutrient gaps for more than 50 million people across the globe. And that includes our farmers. And we're really working to provide access to fruits and vegetables, as well as micronutrient supplementation, especially during periods like pregnancy when that supplementation is important.
Now, Bristow is a registered dietitian for Bayer Crop Science, and she's focused on encouraging people to eat more vegetables.
Having gone to school for many years to study human nutrition, you get to spend a lot of time thinking about fruits and vegetables and how can we get consumers to eat more of them, because we are under consuming them as a whole food category. So I get to wear a couple of different hats within Bayer, one being to connect fellow dietitians, which I am, to agriculture, but then also getting to think through strategy around how can we increase consumption of fruits and vegetables. What kind of nutrition is available in fruits and vegetables, and how can we communicate that out to our farmer customers as well as to consumers?
And of course, healthy foods start with healthy farmers.
It's also for us to encourage farmers to not only think about how they're growing that nutritious crop for the end consumer, but also sharing information why it's important for them to eat the fruits and vegetables they are growing as well. Because if farmers aren't healthy, we're not able to have them in the field growing nutritious foods. So we're really working at Bayer as well through education and connection, through our vision of health for all and hunger for none, to also encourage farmers to take a step back and think about their own health.
And once again, that is comments with Kelly Bristow, Global Nutrition Affairs Lead for Bayer Crop Science. And again, we're kicking off the week on Monday, June 17th is National Eat Your Veggies Day. All right, well, we are up against the clock here on AOA, and we're out of time. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we're going to learn more about this lawsuit between the National Corn Growers Association, American Farm Bureau, and six auto dealers joining the American Petroleum Institute to challenge EPA's light-duty and medium-duty vehicle emission standards for model years 2027 through 2032. We'll talk with National Corn Growers Association President Harold Woolley. We'll also have a conversation with economist economist Matt Roberts, and we'll talk with Dave Bruntz, USMEF Secretary Treasurer. All that and more coming up tomorrow right here on AOA Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back. When your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids helped with
T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save. Because nobody likes having to choose.